Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, it's that time of year where we are back to it with our annual Warriors in Quiet Waters Radiothon. A great opportunity for you to help support an incredible veterans service organization here in Montana. But also, as a guy who hosts a statewide radio show, it's also a great opportunity to catch up with some incredible folks and get some incredible guests on the show. I mean, we get a chance to catch up with some incredible veterans, hear a little bit of their story. We get a chance to hear some incredible business stories and about some incredible businesses and how they're giving back to our veterans out there as well. And then on top of that, we also get to support an incredible Montana-based, Montana-founded organization. I'll tell you what, I can tell you as an Iraq and Afghanistan veteran, it is such an honor to have been able to serve and such an honor to serve alongside so many incredible Americans. You know, here in Montana, we've got over 100,000 veterans all across this state. And so I know in Montana, we're proud of our veterans. We're proud to serve. We're proud to continue to serve. We're also proud to call Warriors in Quiet Waters one of our own. This Bozeman-based nonprofit bringing post-9/11 combat warriors here to experience the tranquility of our rivers through fly fishing or through our mountains or the prairies with some of the hunting opportunities that they're now providing. But not only that, but they're building camaraderie that lasts a lifetime. And they're reminding these veterans who maybe now they took the uniform off and they're wondering, you know, what's their newfound mission? What's their mission in life now? What's their identity in life now? What's next in life now? This program is doing so many great things for so many of our fellow veterans. Well, today's Warriors in Quiet Waters Radiothon is all about keeping that mission alive and keeping that mission going strong. Your support sends more veterans and their loved ones on these transformative journeys completely free of charge. So we got some great guests that are going to be joining us here coming up over the course of the next hour. If at any point you feel compelled and have the opportunity to give and to donate during this radiothon, all you got to do is go to warriorsinquietwaters.org, warriorsinquietwaters.org, or you can give them a phone call at their Bozeman office, 406-585-9793, 406-585-9793, or the website warriorsinquietwaters.org. We got a great lineup of guests that are going to join us here this hour of the show. We've got Pat McCauley, a retired command sergeant major who lives in the Flathead Valley. He was the senior enlisted leader for all of United States SOCOM, for all of United States Special Operations Command. He served in some pretty crazy special unit assignments over his several-decade career as well. He's on the board of directors for Warriors in Quiet Waters. He'll be joining us, plus so many other great guests. Stand by, back with Montana Talks in our Warriors in Quiet Waters Radiothon right after this.
Big topics, big ideas. Big Sky, Montana Talks.
All right. We're supposed to have a guest on with us right now. Caden, if you can either send that guest our way or transfer into my phone line, we can jump right on that one. Yeah, we've got a full guest lineup scheduled here for this hour of the show, or just hit up our friends back at Warriors in Quiet Waters to get our next guest on the phone lines here. Yeah, such a big lineup coming up for you. I've already gotten a chance here this morning to catch up with several great folks. One of the folks I got to catch up with earlier this morning is retired three-star general, Lieutenant General Mark Schwartz. He was a Green Beret. He serves as the vice chair on the board of directors for Warriors in Quiet Waters. And it was so fun, you know, talking more about his story because, He actually, you know, his mom's from Anaconda. He's got family that live in Bozeman. And so as he was retiring from the military, I think he had close to 30 years of service in the military. As he was retiring, he started thinking, okay, you know, now that I'm taking off the uniform, I want to continue to serve those who've worn that uniform. I want to continue to serve the people that are still in uniform right now, especially as well. And so, you know, given his Montana connections, given the fact that he loves to go fly fishing himself, that led him straight to the Quiet Waters and the Quiet Waters Ranch outside of Bozeman, Montana. And so he showed up. He started volunteering. Him and his wife were cooking meals. They were volunteering as the moms and the dads, cooking meals in the lodge right there in the kitchen at the Quiet Waters Ranch outside of, you know, Belgrade. And he just showed up and was volunteering. And all of a sudden, one day, Brian Gilman, who is the CEO of Warriors in Quiet Waters, he looks down at the volunteer list that day. And it not only has the names, but it also has, you know, if people served in the military, they say, hey, if you served in the military, what was your rank? What branch were you in? And next to Mark Schwartz's name, it says LTG, U.S. Army. And Brian's looking at the list. He's like, oh, my goodness, we've got a three-star general who's been here volunteering, and we didn't even know it. And so he starts talking to Mark Schwartz, and he's like, man, we got to get you on the board. You know, we could use your leadership leading our organization as well, and it's so incredible. In fact, what was it, a couple summers ago, I had the honor. I took a week off of the show here, and I actually parked my camper out at the Quiet Waters Ranch while I was there volunteering. That way they had more rooms available for other folks, volunteers and warriors, et cetera. And, man, it was just so fun camping out on the Quiet Waters Ranch. In fact, it was June, and yet I woke up one morning, and there was just fresh snow that was covering the Bridger Mountains right behind us. And it was just absolutely, and I would turn on the radio in my camper and listen to Montana Talks while I was getting ready. And then, boom, all of a sudden, it was like when you are in Iraq or Afghanistan and the gun trucks, the Humvees were all lined up, ready to rock and roll on that patrol to get out on that mission that day, except for instead of a lineup of gun trucks, it was a lineup of pickups and fly fishing guides in gear ready to take us out. Ready to take us out, take us out fly fishing for the day. And what a day it was. Well, actually, what a week it was. It was just absolutely incredible. And I was just tagging along as a volunteer. But as a fellow veteran, I got to sit in on some of the sessions afterwards, and some of the conversations that they were having. And I tell you what, just volunteering in the program, I felt like I was going through the program myself as well. It was so incredible. And so while I was volunteering, that's when I first got a chance to meet Lieutenant General Mark Schwartz. And I think we actually had him on the radio show at the time. I recorded an interview him while I was there volunteering with Warriors in Quiet Waters, and had a great conversation with him. And then, about a year or so later, General Schwartz, I think, invites a friend of his who lives here in Montana to be a part of the board of directors as well. We've now got Command Sergeant Major Pat McCauley with us on the phone lines. Sergeant Major, great to have you on the show.
It's great to be here, and thanks for having me, Aaron. More importantly, thank you for what you continue to do for this organization. Really appreciate it.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's an honor to be a part of it. I tell you, I get back, I don't give as much as some, but I get back a lot more than what I give into the organization. That's for sure.
I think we all do, for sure.
Yeah. Well, it was so cool. I was telling folks about, you know, some of the people you get a chance to meet by, you know, being a part of Warriors in Quiet Waters. And I was at one of our National Advisory Board meetings, and I was sitting next to you at dinner one night, and I started hearing your background. I was like, holy cow. I was like, this guy Pat over here, you know, because everybody's first name basis around there. I mean, you were the Command Sergeant Major for all of U.S. SOCOM. How many years did you serve in the military again?
I was in for about 33 years, and probably about 28, 29 of it was in special operations. So long time special operations career for sure.
And now you live in the Flathead Valley. What's it like being in Montana after, you know, basically seeing the world?
Oh, it's really special. You know, what drew me to Montana was exactly what kind of Warriors in Quiet Waters, you know, discovered when they started sharing it with veterans. It's the peace. It's the ability to get out in nature. I love everything about it. Not this windstorm today so much, but I love everything about this great state and all it has to offer.
I was going to say, yeah, the wind is howling today. One of the street lights outside my house, like the street lamps, is like shaking in the wind right now as we speak.
Yeah, I've already got two trees down, so we'll see how we come out the other side of it.
It might be a busy weekend for you, yeah, cleaning up the land. Well, a lot of people know about Warriors in Quiet Waters and its founding and its start with fly fishing. But really now it's expanded into so many other things, photography experiences, hunting programs, this whole built for more system and program that they've got up and running right now. We're going to talk about that and more. We got to take a quick break and then more to follow with retired Command Sergeant Major Pat McCauley coming up right after this with our Warriors in Quiet Waters Radiothon.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, he just retired back in 2019 after a career in the U.S. Army, a career 30-plus years in especially near 30 in special operations alone, Command Sergeant Major Pat McCauley. Pat, before we you know, talk more about Warriors in Quiet Waters and, you know, what an incredible organization that is, it's so rare that most of us here in Montana would get an opportunity to talk to somebody like you who has a background like you've got. I mean, some of the special mission units that I imagine you've served in. I mean, to be the senior enlisted leader right alongside the commander of U.S. Special Operations Command, SOCOM. I guess, what can you tell us about your career and just what it was like being in some of these very special, units?
Yeah, happy to talk about it. So the first thing I'll tell you is what it was like to be in those special operations units is, the best way I can describe it is I never had to work so hard just to be average. There's incredible people in these organizations that are doing amazing things around the globe on a day-to-day basis that I was just humbled to be a part of it. So I spent, and I think it's important up front that I do say that I spent 2 years in the Marine Corps to put that out there, as Brian Gilman, our CEO, certainly is going to want to hear that. Yeah, spent the 2 years in the Marine Corps. Came into the Army. I was originally an intel guy. Didn't really know what the Army was all about. My family had been all Marines. Served a couple of years there. Knew I wanted more. Volunteered to be a Green Beret. Went through that training pipeline. Went to Ranger School. And then later on, volunteered to be part of a Special Missions Unit in JSOC. I stayed there for about 21 years.
Wow.
And then moved on to Special Operations Command Central, which was basically during the war years kind of responsible for the fight in the Middle East. And ultimately finished up with General Thomas down at SOCOM. Yeah, it was a great ride for sure. I was very fortunate.
20 years just at JSOC alone. Did I hear that right? Which is the Joint Special Operations Command. And a lot of folks are familiar with what that means now, of course, which is, you know, basically the best of the best. But 20 years just there alone. So you have seen fellow soldiers that have gone on deployment after deployment after deployment. And then when you get home, you're not necessarily home either.
Right. Absolutely. And certainly, my experience was, you know, it was kind of a back-to-back thing. I would go for 4 months or 5 months along with all my the guys with me, and then I may be back for 4 months, and then I'm going to go again. So there was this transition back and forth from going into, you know, a war zone and then coming home and going to a PTA meeting. It was this, you know, challenge of being in and out of it. Certainly that was a unique part of this last war and the experience of a lot of soldiers and sailors, Airmen and Marines across our formation, all experiencing a similar type thing with their families. And really the families, to me, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about, and people are always interested in my career and what I've done and the sacrifices, but really the families sacrifice, you know, just as much, if not more, than we do. I was lucky enough to have a pretty incredible support network and a life who should be sainted, for sure.
That's right. Yeah. It's so great to recognize the families, because when you're over there, you know what's going on. And you know, there's tough days and there's really hard days and hard moments. But there's also a lot of good times with some incredible people as well. But the people, family back home, they don't know that. All they see is the bad news that they might be seeing in the headlines that given day as well. But when we talk, though, about how you've seen service members who went on deployment after deployment after deployment, that's why organizations like Warriors and Quiet Waters and what they're doing to support these post-9/11 veterans is so important. Because a lot of people might say, okay, but the wars are largely over right now. Why do organizations like this still matter so much right now, especially? And Brian Gilman can articulate it very well, but basically, like, a lot of these men and women have been gone repeatedly, and then they've been so busy trying to raise families or start their own businesses that they might now just be coming up for a breath of air.
Yeah, there's no question. And I certainly can't articulate it as well as Brian. But there are definitely inherent challenges. If you think about, you know, when folks are serving in the military, they have this incredible mantle of responsibility on them, this purpose. They know what they're doing. They're all giving way together. They're defending the nation, and all of them, you know, relish that. They all enjoy that so much. And it was described to me when I retired. My commander, you know, kind of came to me and talked to me and said, hey, you know, congratulations, you've gone to peacock, from peacock to feather duster. And what he was really getting at was this kind of loss of, you know, all that purpose, all that responsibility, those defining things that kind of held my life together for 33 years. You know, one minute I'm CSM McCauley, and the next minute I am, you know, Mr. McCauley. And a lot of people in the service experience that same kind of thing, you know, where they go from this job where they understood what they were doing. They knew the impact that they were having. They understood their value. Their life was kind of centered around that. But then that's all gone, and they're transitioning to a completely different world to them. And certainly for me, it was that way. You know, I didn't have the benefit of going through the process, but I, through, you know, happenstance and experience, found my way to Montana to kind of find that peace in my life and redefine my purpose. And for me personally, it was giving back to the formation, giving back to the folks that I had served with. And this is one way for me to do that with all those amazing people that have served this nation.
Well, in Warriors and Quiet Waters, everybody knows it as a Bozeman-based organization, and what, you know, retired Colonel Eric Hastings and his co-founder and his founding board members did is just so remarkable, the way they built this from the ground up into this, you know, really, you know, Gold Star Veterans Service Organization. I mean, it's just remarkable. But I know one of the places where I imagine you find some peace and quiet is in the North Fork of the Flathead, and which so many folks know, of course. But Warriors and Quiet Waters recently did a big, you know, FX in the North Fork. Did you get a chance to be a part of that one?
Not this last year. This next year I'm going to be. So I'm going to be a mom/dad, however you want to define it, for that particular event. I'm really excited. As someone who lives up here and has experienced the North Fork and all it has to offer, to have Warriors and Quiet Waters now doing an FX up there is spectacular. So I can't wait to share that with some of these young service members or veterans when they come up here.
I know you've got horses and things, and horses also can be just an incredible, you know, just an incredible, I don't know what, therapy, companion, whatever you want to describe it, for people and for veterans especially. But there's just something about being in the outdoors. There's something about being out on the water or being out hiking around on a hunt or something, and all of that is integrated into what Warriors and Quiet Waters does.
Absolutely. It's a piece that's really kind of hard to define. And in that backdrop, it's really kind of a vehicle, right? Because what you're doing is you're building connection amongst these cohorts as they start to find their purpose, as they start to redefine their lives. And the medium that we use, the paintbrush that we use, is the outdoors. And I, you know, I watched it firsthand. I did the hunting exercise, or the hunting field exercise, down in Forsyth this year. And was lucky enough to be a dad for that. And for those who don't know, what a dad does is we're volunteers on these trips, and we do the cooking and the cleaning. And if we're fortunate, we get to, you know, participate in some of the discussion that the veterans have at night, but to watch the impact and to see it firsthand that it had on this group of in this case, it was all guys. But watching the connection that they had built over the 9-month process and how it culminated here, and listening to their stories and how much Wars and Quiet Waters meant to them and the impact that it had on their life, meant more to me than I can really articulate. It was incredibly impactful. I was honored to be a part of that. And that medium that is nature is so important, because it's kind of the central point that we use to anchor them all together. But it's truly a remarkable and really, I think, unequaled system that's out there, or kind of course cohort training pipeline that these folks go through. It's truly remarkable.
Yeah, it's incredible. You talk about hunting in Forsyth, or, you know, floating the North Fork of the Flathead, the mountains to the prairies, or ice fishing near Malta. They're going to be fly fishing in the Florida Keys next month. I was talking with Barbara McLeod, and her husband, Sergeant Mack, are supporting that FX. From the mountains to the prairies. You know, that reminds me of one of my favorite quotes, which is, you know, anybody can love the mountains, but it takes a soul to love the prairie. I mean, you go from the Flathead Valley and spending time in the North Fork, but then you're out in Forsyth hunting. Isn't there just something incredible about the prairie?
Oh, it's absolutely beautiful. I love it. Certainly, I'm spoiled up here in the Flathead Valley with Glacier right next door in the North Fork, but it's so easy to love and appreciate the prairie, and I truly do. And uniquely, as a veteran, I think we share this pride in that we defended all of it, right? So to be able to be out in nature, to be out in the prairie, or be up in the mountains, to be on these streams, is all something that's really, really powerful. And kind of anchors us back to this incredible country and all the beauty that it has in it, that we were able to have the good fortune of defending.
Less than a minute to go, retired Command Sergeant Major Pat McCauley, what an honor. We'll have to get you back on again one of these days. What was the craziest part of the selection process for some of the units that you got to be a part of, maybe physically or something like that, that you can share?
I think the thing that really stands out to me is, you know, through one of the more difficult processes that I went through was the internal strength that you had to have to be able to get through it. So to be put into a position where I was, you know, mentally and physically exhausted, and then to be able to discover, you know, what I was capable of, even in that state, after everything I thought I had in me was expended, to be able to find another gear. And for me, that was, you know, that was eye-opening. And I think in a lot of ways, kind of defined my worldview.
Wow.
You know, after I got
kind
through
of like,
that.
Kind of like built for more, which is, you thought you were built
exactly
for something.
Exactly what I was thinking.
You were built for even more than what you thought. That's incredible. Sergeant Major, thank
Montana
you.
Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
Returning back this morning, America's sheep producers say they are facing mounting pressure from imported lamb, threatening their long-term viability. The American Sheep Industry Association is urging immediate federal action and pushing for a Section 201 trade investigation to restore fair competition. ASI is asking sheep producers and industry stakeholders to contact their U.S. senators and urge them to sign a Dear Colleague letter supporting the investigation. Signatures are needed by Friday, December 19th. On the Hill, the effort is being led by Congressman Doug LaMalfa of California, chairman of the Western Caucus. Now, as we look to cattle markets out across the countryside, USDA reports that steers and heifers from right here in the North Central reporting region were higher this past week, up $6 to $11. Lighter weight calves continue to lead the market as buyers aggressively filled needs ahead of the holiday slowdown. Demand remains good to very good, with especially strong interest in lightweight calves headed for grazing, an unusual trend for mid-December. As for feedlots, they were active in backfilling pens ahead of the limited auction receipts until early January, while cow sales stayed strong with solid replacement demand taking place.
That's a look at today's headlines impacting farmers and ranchers. I'm Lane Nordlund. Have a great day, everyone.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Well, hey, we've got more great guests joining us here on the show, including our good friend Sean Gifford, the former mayor of Three Forks. He's got the V42 Fitness Gym there in Three Forks as well. But incredible background. Sean Gifford is a retired Green Beret. He was active duty Green Beret and then also served in the National Guard with the 19th Special Forces Group as well. In fact, I had the great honor and opportunity of serving in the 19th Special Forces Group. And so I'd run into some of these badass Green Berets like Sean Gifford and others. In fact, I think we've got him on the phone lines right now. Sean, are you there?
I'm here, Aaron.
Hey, awesome. All right. Well, how you been? Good to catch up with you.
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing real good, man. I'll tell you what, I've been catching up with so many, folks from Warriors of Quiet Waters, supporters. It's just been incredible to catch up with so many great folks here throughout the morning.
Nice. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, I told folks a little bit about your background. You probably didn't get a chance to hear it while we were transferring in through the phone lines here, but You've not only gone through Warriors in Quiet Waters as a post 9/11 veteran yourself, but now you're one of the fishing guides as well.
Yeah, that's right. I came through after I was injured in Afghanistan in 2017. Had a lot of survivor's guilt and angst, and thankfully, guys like Jesse Leneve and Warriors in Quiet Waters introduced me to fly fishing.
What was it like when you first got introduced to fly fishing? Because, you know, you're already an outdoorsy guy, but going through an official program like this, what was it that stood out to you?
I mean, looking at fly fishing from outside before I went through the program, it just seemed like, oh, that's too difficult to do, or it's a lot of the financial barrier to get into the sport, at the time was pretty insurmountable. But, I came through WQW. Some of the best fishing guides in Southwest Montana, the proper instruction for casting, fly selection, they outfitted me with a rod, waders, and then I was on my own after that, took off running with it. But just to have that instruction from these skilled guides, these compassionate guides, was just, it was life-changing.
That's a good reminder. Yeah, folks, as we're doing our Warriors in Quiet Waters radiothon here this morning, if you go to warriorsinquietwaters.org and donate or give them a call at 585-9793, what they're able to do is not only make these trips happen and make these programs happen, but they are also able to provide all of the gear to the Warriors that come through this program so they can take it back home with them and then have this lifestyle moving forward. But also today, we've got a $10,000 matching gift by the McGregor Company. The McGregor Company offering a $10,000 matching gift to make this all happen. And Sean Gifford, so you've not only gone fly fishing right there in your backyard in the Gallatin Valley, but you also got a chance, I think, if I remember right, you got a chance to go tag along or be a part of the fly fishing experience in the Florida Keys. Talk about fly fishing in Montana compared to fly fishing in the Florida Keys.
I don't want to offend any people.
Yeah.
I know. No, it was awesome. Captain Rick Ruoff, who's a summer resident here in Willow Creek, also guides down in Isla Mirada. He's famous. He's on podcasts. Just the diversity of the nature and the fish, and then the fish are just, they just fight so much more. And it's hard to put into words, but yeah, it's different than catching trout in a small stream. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. Well, and I was talking with Barbara McLeod, and her and her husband, Sergeant Mack, are going to be out taking photos and supporting the next Florida Keys FX coming up here in January as well. So that's going to be cool. I can't wait to see some of those photographs. Speaking of some of the incredible fly fishing guides that are part of this program, Jesse Leneve, I think, is with us as well. Jesse, are you there?
I am. Thanks, Aaron.
Perfect. Yeah, I wasn't sure. I tried to conference both you guys in at the same time, so I'm glad we got you. Jesse is the director of program operations at Warriors in Quiet Waters. But Jesse, if I'm not mistaken, you've also been a longtime fly fishing guide yourself as well, right? If not, you sure look like one. You look like one of those cool guys.
Yes. That's the key, you know, just look like it, and that's all that really matters, you know? So get the outfit and the look for sure. No, in all seriousness, no. I've been able to spend my entire life here in Montana in the outdoors, so very fortunate.
Okay, Jesse, before I go back to you, I had to laugh there. Sean Gifford, you're a Green Beret. I'm not a Green Beret, but I've had some Green Berets tell me the first rule of Special Forces. What is the first rule of Special Forces? Do you remember that one by chance?
You always got to look cool, Aaron.
Just look cool, no matter what you do. So what Jesse was talking about, just look like a fly fishing guy. That's all you got to do. So, Jesse, the thing I love about you is not only everything you do for our veterans with Warriors in Quiet Waters, but, man, you got a smile on your face that puts anybody in a good mood the moment they show up for these events.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks, Aaron. I think a lot about, family and friends, these Warriors, our team here at Warriors in Quiet Waters. Everyone's just sharing experiences, you know, and just enjoying it together. So you lead by example, and a smile a day goes a long ways.
What, I talked about earlier about how when I got the chance to tag along on a fly fishing experience one summer, how cool it was. You know, I just had my camper there and, you know, getting ready for, and then all of a sudden it's like the gun trucks showed up, like you were back out on patrol in Iraq or Afghanistan, and here's the vehicles showing up with the drift boats behind them and the crews and all the rods attached to the top. Instead of a 50 cal on top or a Mark 19, it's fly fishing rods, and it was just so cool. And then they get out there and they do their pre-patrol brief practically, but you're going out having a good time.
I always look at the fishing guides when they roll up. It's very motivating. It's a motivating experience, you know, standing around, drinking some coffee, enjoying the day, enjoying the morning, and then heading out and enjoying that moment in nature. So it's a big team effort. It's not one individual at all. It's the entire team working together.
What do you hear from your fellow fly fishing guides on what they like about the program, or what are some of the more impactful aspects to the program for you and your fellow guides?
A couple things. One is the ability to get people outside, you know, being not only for the Warriors themselves to be outside immersed in nature, but you'll hear stories of them getting back home and taking their neighbor, taking their children out, spreading the knowledge around the communities around America. You know, getting outside is a positive impact for everyone. So the guides teach one person, and it's a spiderweb effect. You know, next thing you know, we're seeing pictures of families out fishing, and puts a big smile on a fishing guide's face to receive a photo a month later, even years later, to see that impact and people just passing along, being outside, and enjoying the moment.
Well, I can imagine, too, if you're a fly fishing guide in a place like Bozeman, Big Sky area, I'm sure you get incredible people from across the country, across the world, that will come use your services as a guide. But I'm sure you also get some bad apples who just, you know, may not treat people the best or whatever, or respect the you know what I'm saying? And whereas, man, getting the chance to connect with these veterans and show them this incredible experience has got to be just tremendously rewarding.
Absolutely. You know, I find people, Warriors, when they come through here, they're just in the moment. Some people, like you mentioned before, some of those people show up, they're pretty frazzled clients, potentially use that word, I guess, for people that are, they're kind of the bad apples. They're got a lot going on and they can't figure out how to reflect in the moment. And I think the Warrior mentality, they show up, they're there for themselves and those around them, their brothers and sisters, so they're able to use that energy and relax and enjoy the moment together. So it's just great.
Well, Jesse Leneve, thanks for what you do, the Director of Program Operations at Warriors and Quiet Waters. Sean Gifford, stand by coming up after the break. I want to get some final thoughts from you as well. Yeah, we have a $10,000 matching gift from the McGregor Company right now, so whatever you contribute will go towards that match as well. Go to warriorsandquietwaters.org to donate. warriorsandquietwaters.org to donate. In fact, I just got a message on the Montana Talks app. I see our friend Tim in Savage out there in Mondakistan on the Montana-North Dakota border. Thank you, Tim. He just gave $100 to WQW. Tim, thank you so much for your donation and your great support as well. Quick break. We've got another guest, Sean Titchener, joining us after this. Plus, we'll get some final thoughts from Sean Gifford in Three Forks. Stand by.
History.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's go back to it here. He was mayor of Three Forks. He's got the V42 Fitness Gym there in Three Forks as well, which by the way, just drop in there sometime and just check it out. It is so cool to see the military signage and the military memorabilia and so many great folks that work out at the gym there. We did a really fun event at V42 Fitness last year, and so it was so fun to do that. Sean Gifford, what else do you want to tell folks about Warriors in Quiet Waters, especially as somebody who's been through the program and continues giving back to your fellow veterans through the program?
I mean, I'll say Warriors in Quiet Waters, it changed the trajectory of my post-military life. Like I said, when I came out of Walter Reed, I was angry and, you know, all kinds of emotions were, you know, going through. And then I was able to channel a lot of that energy into fly fishing. You know, after they removed that financial barrier for me, I got all the gear and I knew what I was doing with the equipment. So it was a little less intimidating, you know, to be able to go out to these rivers and kind of finish teaching myself the craft.
Well, thanks for what you continue to do and, you know, to give back to your fellow veterans as well. It's incredible. I know it was always cool. I know me, you know, just being a guy, I remember running into you in the Chow Hall down in Utah a few years ago, and it was just so cool. It's so cool to see Green Berets like you and your fellow teammates, and an honor just to have gotten a chance to know you. But then to be able to be a part of an organization like this as well, man, it's very cool. I appreciate your time. Thanks for all you do.
No, thank you, Aaron.
All right. Well, we've got another guest. I'm going to sneak on the program here before we run out of time. So let me see. We tried to transfer him into my phone lines here, but for some reason that didn't do the trick. So I'm going to just call him from the system here live while we are on the air. Hey, I mentioned, you know, earlier, so like, for example, if you were listening to 1450 KMMS in Bozeman earlier this morning, we started this radiothon at like 6 o'clock in the morning. So we got a chance to catch up with a whole bunch of folks. So if you want to hear more of the veterans that we got a chance to catch up with, the Warriors and Quiet Waters supporters we got a chance to catch up with, you can find the full radiothon audio on our podcast. You can find it on the Montana Talks app maybe later today or over the holidays or whatever. Feel free to go and check it out because it really we got a chance to catch up with so many great folks. Now I think we've got Sean Titchener on the phone lines, Army veteran who went through the hunting program with Warriors in Quiet Waters and has also volunteered, as I understand it, as well. Sean, thanks for being with us.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, how'd you first get to be a part of Warriors in Quiet Waters, and what was the hunting program like?
So I first got involved with them through a friend who happened to work with Warriors in Quiet Waters, and he said, hey, getting this program would be good for you. So I initially went, I think it was like 2015 or 2016, on a fishing event. Just learned how to fly fish and all that stuff. and then just continued staying in contact with them, working with them, and then I got on the hunt, like you said, and the hunt for purpose was amazing. That's about, I can't even put it, I don't have enough words for it, is what I'm trying to say. It was just great. It reinvigorated my love for the outdoors, gave me some new, I learned a lot of lessons because I'm pretty new to hunting. I started hunting about 3 years ago, big game. And then one big part of it is you meet some real cool people, the people in your group. I'm still in contact with just about everyone in my group. So new contacts, new friends, new support system. It all around just is great.
Yeah, and it's similar to the fly fishing experience where they give you all the gear for the hunting program as well. So if you're doing archery, they kit you out for that as well, right?
Yeah, you get fully kitted with great equipment, clothes, the bow, the arrows. They teach you. You spend a few times at the archery place, and pros, you know, people have been doing it for a long time. They work with you, tune your bow, look at your technique, tweak a couple things, and just give you the best chance at making a good shot when the time comes.
And you served in the Army. What'd you do in the Army?
I was infantry.
Well, so what else is there?
I carried a lot of stuff in my back and walk a lot.
But what else is there other than the infantry? The infantry's the only place where it's. No, I'm joking. I went through Sand Hill myself, and so you got to love the hello infantry. About a minute to go, Sean Titchener, and then talk about being a volunteer and giving back and what it means for folks who give back and contribute to Warriors in Quiet Waters today, how important that is.
It's very important. And as far as me volunteering, I mean, they've done so much for me, and I just felt compelled to pay it forward and get on the other side of things and do it for new veterans coming through the program, and teaching lessons that I learned through the program and helping out the best way I can. And, you know, programs like Warriors in Quiet Waters, the volunteers are a huge part of it. It keeps everything going and flowing, and it makes it to where the warriors don't have to worry about anything but learning their craft, healing, you know, and doing what they need to do. So, yeah, it's very, very important.
Awesome. Well, Sean, great to have you on the show. Thanks for being with us. And, yeah, folks, if you can show your support here at the end of the year, at the start of the year, to Warriors in Quiet Waters, go to warriorsinquietwaters.org, warriorsinquietwaters.org.